All right. Well, good evening. Doing all right? Settled in, but not too much? Ready to go? All right. Awesome. Hey, before we started, I did want to say, over the last few months, you know, we planted Revive Church, and they officially went over to Summit in May, and which is awesome, by the way. Hey, can we celebrate that one more time? Yeah. Since that time, we have had a lot of new faces, especially on Sunday, and I wanted to make it clear that, you know, Sunday morning's part of what we do, Wednesday night's part of what we do, even life groups is part of what we do, but really, we want to be a family. We want to bear each other's burdens together, and I know in the past, some people have said, hey, this thing's going on in my life, but I don't know if I really want to bother you with that, because I know you're busy and stuff like that. I want to be very clear that, yes, sometimes my schedule is busy, but I always want to prioritize anything that's going on in your life. If you want to schedule something with me, I will prioritize that over everything else. So work-wise, not everything in general. But I will prioritize that and be with you. So please, talk to me, talk to a leader. If there's something you're going through and you need somebody to just talk to about it, maybe it's not even counseling. If it is counseling, great. I'd love to process through that and walk through that with you. But even if it's not, even if it's somebody you just need to talk to, we want to do that for you, okay, because we're a family here, so keep that in mind. Let's pray as we get started, all right? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing in our community, in our churches, and we pray that you would continue to work, continue to strengthen those bonds of unity as family. We want to be that Acts 2 church that says we're one in heart and of mind, and we just, in lockstep, move forward together. So I pray that that will be true in Grace Meadows Church and in Revive Church as well. So we love you very much. It's in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's continue looking at what we called the Hall of Faith from Hebrews chapter 11. So if you'll recall, if you weren't here, let me just get you caught up real quick. In week one, the first thing that this writer says is, by faith, we know that what was unseen created what was seen. So that was week one. Last week, we talked about Cain and Abel, that by faith, Abel presented a better sacrifice than Cain did, so we processed through that. And this week, we're going to get into the third one, which is talking about Enoch. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 1 through 6 to get caught up here. All right? It says, now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about this by faith of Enoch in verses 5 and 6. And as always, let's get a fuller picture. So first, where else do we find Enoch in the rest of the Bible? Let's process through that, all right? Four other places. Two in terms of genealogy, so we're not going to go through those. But the other two, one is in the New Testament and one is in the Old Testament. Let's begin with the Old Testament, Genesis 5, verse 21. It says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. All right, the other reference to him is in Jude, verses 14 and 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. All right. That was a lot of scripture at one time. Let me just process through this with you. So Jude refers to Enoch as a prophet of sorts. And why does he say that? Well, essentially, it must have come down to the fact that God gave some kind of foreshadowing to Enoch about judgment to come. And we know that because he has a son named Methuselah. And that word Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent forth. Okay? So when Methuselah, the oldest person ever to live on record, 969 years, which, by the way, is a long, long time. I don't know. There's a lot of theories as to why people lived that long back then. I don't know. I can't guess. The only thing I can come up with is cheesecake wasn't invented yet, or there was no standardized testing in schools yet, or something. I don't know. But clearly, we don't live that long now. But 969 years. It's amazing. This is, like I said, on record, the longest living person. Now, when Methuselah dies, this same year is when the flood comes. Okay, so when Methuselah dies, if his name means, when he dies, it shall be set forth, Jude says this is a prophet about God's judgment. So after Methuselah dies, there will be judgment, and judgment did come in way of the flood. Now, if you were Methuselah's classmate, and you know what his name meant, you would be doing everything you could to preserve that kid's life, wouldn't you? Let's put that kid in a bubble. Let's make sure he gets his vitamins every day. Let's just make sure nobody harms him. But in God's mercy, he allows this man to be the longest living man in history. Why? Because God is long of nose. He is patient. That's why he lives so long. He says, I'm going to give you every opportunity to turn towards God until judgment comes. And that's why he lives so long. All right, so why by faith? Why is Enoch included here? Let's give a little bit more background. As Jude says, seventh down from Adam. So he's in this era of the fall of man, leading to more and more depravity. The human heart is far away from God, which would result in the flood. So what was different about him? Well, Hebrews 11 says that he pleased God. And if you go back to Genesis 5, like we read, how did he please God? Genesis 5 says he pleased God simply by walking with him faithfully. There's that word abide again. He walked with him. That's a beautiful legacy, isn't it? I mean, think about legacy. For me, I think about very big things for legacy. You know, man, Dallas, like, slayed giants, man. You know, he stormed the gates of hell. He laughed in the face of danger like Simba, man. He was just after it. All to please God, to say, God, look at what I'm doing for you. And yet, in this era of time where men become more and more and more depraved, you got to think there's a temptation to think, I got to do way more and way above and perform even greater to overcome all these things that are happening. But instead, what's true is God says that by faith he pleased him just by walking with him. We got to understand, performance doesn't please God. Walking with him, abiding, staying connected to him is what pleases God. Imagine if your kids tried to like perform enough for you so that you'd be satisfied. What would they have to do? They would have to borrow from you in order to try to please you. Even if they drew you this picture or colored you this picture, they would have to borrow your paper that you bought, borrow your crayons, and borrow the words that you taught them in order to even do that. It's the point here. Everything good is from God. So it's connecting ourselves to God so that his power can work in our lives. That's the whole point of the Christian faith. It's not doing, it's abiding. It's so important. Because again, the one he is pleased with, it's his son, Jesus. And that's why he says, when the heavens open up, he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So those who are in Christ, those who are abiding and connecting to him, those are the ones who God is also pleased with. Let me say that again because it's so crucial. If you are in Christ, then God is now pleased with you. And I know theologically, we believe some funky things sometimes. That is absolutely true. Not because of anything you have done, but because of what Christ has done. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, and he looks at you, and he's pleased with you. Yeah, I think if we could just stay there for a second and really try to evaluate, do you know that when God looks at you, he sees the finished work of Jesus Christ? I mean, that will inform some things for us, just right there, won't it? Because I think if you're like me, you think God is looking at you like, man, you just can't seem to get it together. I mean, standing high above us with separation, just taking notes like, Dallas, you keep messing up that one thing. You just keep messing up, shaking his head, right? It's not true. In fact, John 15, what we're going to talk about is that Jesus actually not only loves us, but likes us. He likes to be in our company. He has affections for us, and so does the Father. He's pleased with us because we are in Christ, and Christ has finished the work we couldn't. So important. So, just walk with him. Now, the thing that's tricky about walking is it's not running. So many times, I want to just run and run and run. But do you see God ever run in the Scriptures? You see Jesus ever in a hurry and going, man, we got to get there. Let's sprint over there. No, never. He walks. Now, time to be very honest for a second. You ever think God goes a little too slow for your liking? We being honest here? Anybody? Am I the only one? You ever think God goes a little too slow? We think things should have been done yesterday. And we often think we know better for other people what they should be doing than they do. And that pertains to God sometimes too. I mean, think about the disciples oftentimes. It's like, Jesus, why are you giving this message about my body's real food and my blood is real drink? Like, whoa. I mean, you did that sign and wonder yesterday and thousands of people came and that was amazing. And now people have left. What are you doing? Or, Jesus, are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? Or, what are you doing? Do more tricks. Do more things like this. Do this faster, right? Don't we do that sometimes? I think what he's trying to tell us that it's so crucial is we need to really fundamentally shift what the Christian faith actually is. See, perhaps God is retraining us not to think about an end point or an outcome, but instead to enjoy the relationship, the process, and to live more and more in intimacy with him. See, when you go out for a walk, you don't really consider the destination you're going to, do you? In fact, oftentimes the destination, very simply, is the place that you started at to begin with. I know for us at our house, when we go out for a walk, it's just a loop right back to our house. It feels like you've gone nowhere. So what's the point? The point is connection. The point is walking alongside of someone. The point is not to get somewhere, but to actually just be present with that individual. It's crucial. It's crucial. You got to do two things when you go out for a walk. Number one, not think about the destination, but think about the process. And number two, you got to get rid of distractions. You don't want to be going out for a walk texting on your phone. You might get hit by a car, to be honest. Not to mention, you're not going to connect with the individual you're going for a walk with. Amos 3:3, how can you agree to walk together truly if you're not agreeing to just be present with one another? We got to eliminate distractions. So when we spend time with God, we shouldn't be also on the phone or also thinking about the to-do list or always just bringing our agenda to the table. We should instead just walk with him. Just be with him. That's what Enoch has done here. No distractions, no running to a destination, just simply walking. And that's crucial because running says, I've got to get there faster. But walking says, I'm enjoying the process with you. And it stands to reason. If you're running, very difficult to hold a conversation. Now, there are some in this church who run and run and run a lot, and they can carry on a conversation while they're running, and good for them. But for the most of us, we can't do that. If you're running, you're getting ahead of God because God doesn't run. He just doesn't. He doesn't run. So we can run for God, or we could walk with God. I think so many times we think we're going to miss God's purpose for our life, that we should be doing more. But if we're walking with him, we can't possibly be missing what he has for us. Because what he has for us is to walk with him. Crucial. Now, is it awkward when you start going for a walk? Yes. We had a boy that we were taking care of last year and into this year. And he's 1 year old at the time, I think, when we first took him out for a walk, and we put him in the stroller, and he screamed his head off. I mean, the whole loop around just screamed. In fact, neighbors were coming out going, what in the world is going on with this boy? But the second time we did it, there was less crying. The third time, kind of had like a stone face, like, I don't know about this. And by about the fourth time, he's like getting, like leaning to try to get into the stroller to go for a walk. It's kind of what it looks like in the Christian faith, is that it feels a little awkward at times. We should be going and doing, or we should be feeling like we can do whatever we want to do and not really be with him or doing things for him. But instead, walking with him, not doing for, but walking with him, takes practice, and it takes time. Remember Sunday, we said, stay in step with the Spirit. Go where he goes. Go out for a walk. Now, one other note that the writer of Hebrews makes about Enoch. He doesn't die. It's like, I feel like that's kind of an interesting detail. In fact, if you read all of Genesis 5, you could pretty much nickname it the dying chapter, because everybody listed, it's like so-and-so was born, and then they died. So-and-so was born, and then they died. Except for this one character, Enoch. Now, why? Why did Enoch not die? Well, there's a few theories about going around about that, but two prominent ones. Number one is potentially a foreshadowing of, for those who are in Christ, and when Jesus comes back, those individuals, when he comes back to the earth, they will never see death, and they will go right up on into heaven. So it could be some kind of foreshadowing of what's to come. But I think it's actually more so a foreshadowing of what a relationship with Jesus actually looks like. I mean, you think about it for a second. Enoch and God are walking on the earth. And then all of a sudden, God's like, hey, why don't we do this at my place now? And that's really true for those who are in Christ. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says, those who abide in him and his word never taste death. And it's like, what does that mean? Or in John 11, he refers to Lazarus's death as really just like he was sleeping. And for the Christian, it's a lot different than the non-Christian when it comes to death. See, for the non-Christian, this is a painful, mournful event. But for the Christian, this is kind of a promotion of sorts. That now you've been walking alongside, you've been living in the kingdom of God, you've been fixing your eyes on Jesus, you've been so awestruck of Jesus, and then one day, God's like, why don't you come on over to my place, and we'll do it there. Dallas Willard once said, he said, perhaps when I die, it might be a while before I know it yet. And I thought, what a weird thing to say. But what he said was, when you live in the kingdom of God and you're just fixing your eyes on Jesus, you're not really looking at your surroundings, are you? You're looking at him. And so one day you may look around and go, wait, things look a little different here than I noticed them before. And that's so true. For the Christian, that's what it's like. And that's what Enoch shows us. He shows us this great example of walking on earth with God all his life. And then one day God going, why don't you come on over to my place? We'll go do it there. That's the hope we have, guys. That as death comes knocking on our door, perhaps it is simply a promotion to God saying, let's go do it at my place. So hold on to that as we go from here. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. We thank you for this example of Enoch. I pray for those who are really just striving in this place and feeling like they got to earn your affection, they got to earn their position or status or whatever, and man, they just feel so heavy and white-knuckled. I pray that this example of Enoch will go so far with us tonight to say, no, we just got to connect to you. We got to go at your pace. We got to stay with you. We don't need to run ahead of you, because then it would be our power and not yours. So, Father, tonight I pray, make us a people that just want to walk with you. We want to eliminate distractions, not think about the outcomes or the destinations. Oh, really, we just want to think about being with you. And perhaps our eyes will just fixate there. Like Mary does when she just sits at your feet and she doesn't even probably really know what else is going on. She just looks at you. So, Father, simplify things for us in that way, to just walk with you. We love you very, very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship together.